see all of you here tonight. I'd like to welcome you to the Candidate Forum for the Office of Representative to the United States Congress from the 1st Congressional District of Missouri. We would like to thank Christ Church Cathedral for hosting this event. And this evening's forum is being sponsored by the Downtown Disability Action Network, an affiliate of the Coalition for Truth in Independence. A special thanks goes to League member William Groon, who initiated the planning for this forum. My name is Nancy Miller. I'm a member of the League of Women Voters, and I will be moderating the forum. The other League volunteers who will be helping are timer Nancy Billingham down front with the paddle. And those passing out and collecting cards are Marjorie Courtney, Stephanie Rock, Liz Arbach, Carol Strawbridge, Barb Harris, Pat Jones, Kathleen Farrell, Julian Long, and Louise Wilkerson. I haven't seen her yet, but I know she's coming. Okay, these are the rules. Oh, there she is. Good, good, good. There is Louise here. These are the rules. The candidates will have 2 minutes for an opening statement. You hear how this is echoing, folks? Just, yeah. They will have 1 minute to answer each question. They have the right to answer all questions, and that's why we ask you to make your questions general, not personal, not individual. Every question will be asked of all the candidates. And then they will have 2 minutes for a closing statement. Your job is to write questions directed to the candidates, to write questions which are of general interest. In addition, questions which are illegible, embarrassing, hostile, personal, or unclear will be set aside. Questions relating to the same topic may be grouped together. No campaign materials are allowed in this room during the forum. Buttons, printed materials, even clothing used to publicize a candidate must be out of sight. It's your job to listen carefully and decide which candidate you are going to support. Responding to a candidate's statement is not allowed. This is not a rally, not a debate, but a forum allowing the candidates to present their positions on issues which are important to you in 1 minute. Any outbursts take away from their time. The timekeeper will time all opening and closing statements, allowing 2 minutes. Time all responses to questions, allowing 1 minute. Indicate 30 seconds are remaining with the yellow sign, the yellow palette. You want to turn around so they can see it behind you? Yeah. And indicate the time has expired with the red paddle. My job as moderator is to explain the procedure, introduce the candidates, read the questions from the audience. I retain the option to combine questions which are similar. I will ensure that each candidate has an equal opportunity to answer questions, and I will enforce the ground rules. I ask everyone to turn off the ringers on your cell phones, pagers, watches. The forum will last approximately 90 minutes, depending on questions asked by you. The League of Women Voters is a nonpartisan, nonprofit organization which does not support or oppose candidates or parties, but does take positions on issues which have been studied. I want to remind everyone that the purpose of the forum is to learn where each candidate stands on the issues presented in your questions. And now I would like to introduce our candidates for tonight. In ballot order, they are Democrat Bill Haas, Democrat Lacey Clay, Democrat Maria Chappelle Nadal, Republican Stephen Bailey, and Paul Berry. And our Libertarian candidate is not here yet. He may still be coming. It's time to start the opening statements. We will begin with Bill Haas.
Where's the timekeepers?
She's right down there.
Thank you.
Okay.
Good evening. We all share the same dream for America, so we should enjoy this evening. I'll be 72 in September, and have been chasing this dream of public service for more than half my life. And today wasn't the worst day of my life. The worst day of my life was when my cat, Mummy, got out of the apartment and was hit by a car. The second worst day was when her son, Little Boy, died of a stroke at the vet while being treated with radioactive iodine for thyroid disease. But today was one of the 10 worst days of my life when that useless rag of an excuse for a newspaper, the Post Disgrace, in their story about this race, which was an otherwise finely written story, said conventional wisdom is that I don't have much of a chance to win this. I do have a chance to win, and it was just wrong to editorialize in a way that could affect how people vote. It was just wrong. Of course Maria and I are underdogs. We're running against a 16-year incumbent whose father was there 30 years before him. But the article also said he enjoys a 50% approval rating. Enjoys 50% after 16 years? That's not good. He's vulnerable and he knows it, and that's why he pulled out the Hail Mary from President Obama. He'll get less than 50% of the vote. If he gets less than 40%, Maria or I will win, and I think I have the better chance. And I hope to do more in my first 2 years than he's done in 16. On education and third grade reading scores, on jobs and fair compensation for those hurt by trade deals or laid off as a result of automation or mergers and acquisitions, for veterans and nursing homes, by stopping public monies for companies like sports teams and Walmart that don't need it, and on stopping animal cruelty on factory farms. When I asked Lacey about this, he said he wouldn't do it because he'd lose the support of his pork producers. Fine, he should have the support of his pork producers and not much else. He votes well, but he doesn't seem to do much. Leadership is action, not position. And that's why I hope to be your next congressman.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Let me thank the League of Women Voters for hosting tonight's candidate forum. Every 2 years, the citizens of this congressional district hold a job interview to decide who can best represent their core values, their vital issues, and this community's best interests in Washington, D.C. I'm honored to have been your voice for jobs, health care, education, housing, common sense, gun control, criminal justice reform, preserving a woman's right to control her own health care decisions, and defending your right to vote. I'm the only candidate for Congress in the first CD who has ever saved a good job, doubled federal support for community health care, crack down on reckless Wall Street speculators, cleaned up an environmental hazard, and protected the right to vote. This election is not about being loud. It's about leadership. It's not about rhetoric. It's about results. It's not about tweets. It's about the truth. And it's not about insults. It's about intelligence. And it's about what candidate has shown real backbone by putting this district first and fighting for a progressive agenda, not just in St. Louis, but across our nation. Again, let me thank the League for their sponsorship. Thank all of you for your friendship and support. And I'm looking forward to your questions.
Good evening, my name is Maria Chappelle Nadal. 2 years ago, I did not know that I would be running for Congress. There are several challenges that we have in this district. 2 years ago, obviously you heard about Ferguson. But before that, we had a crisis in education. Many of our young people are getting undereducated. And unfortunately, we are at the point where we have generations and families that are undereducated. What Ferguson brought out is the fact that we have social and economic inequity. But what really drew me to run for Congress is the fact that people are dying because of radioactive waste contamination. For so many decades have we had this contamination, and not too many people said anything about it. And then luckily our Attorney General said something about it, and then I started researching and asking the question, why hasn't anything been done about it? When you hear about a 16-year-old who is dying of testicular cancer or a 9-year-old girl who is dying because of a brain tumor, the question rises, why have people been silent? In the first congressional district, 36% of the people who live in the Promise Zone are living in poverty. 60% of all of the children who are on free and reduced lunch are in our public schools. 60% of our kids are on free and reduced lunch. That's terrible. And the unemployment rate for African Americans is 17%. You know, if we're going to come back home and talk about all of the things that we've done, tell me why families are living on top of each other and we have more people who are homeless than ever. Why is it that 4,000 children just in my Senate district are going home without food? My name is Maria Chappelle Nadal, and I'm asking you for your vote on August 2nd.
Hello, my name is Steve Bailey. I'm on the ballot as Stephen G. Bailey. Take a hard look. I'm a dying breed. I'm a college professor who identifies as a Republican. We're sort of falling a different way, but I'm glad that the League of Voters chose this venue for us to have this forum, because one of the greatest challenges facing St. Louis is homelessness. In order to come into this forum, I saw at least 20 homeless people. Brother Larry Rice's center is near here. We don't have any good plans to help people who cannot help themselves. We don't have good plans on mental health. I'm not hearing a lot of this in the general, the presidential race. The other thing I'd really like to focus upon is that according to the figures I've seen, 24.1% of young African American males are unemployed. I don't know exactly why that is, but I certainly know that that isn't the way it should be. If we look at people who have my skin color, it's closer to 4.1% of high school graduates. I've proposed some interesting education processes. I'd like us to do school vouchers or school choice type of things so that the public education system is not the only one available to these students. I also would like us to look at whether every young boy or every young girl who begins to lose interest in education around the seventh or eighth grade really needs to stay in a classroom. Could we begin to move them into more of workplace learning? They can learn all the algebra and reading skills they need. They need jobs. My name again is Steve Bailey. I'm on the prime. Thank you.
Yes, my name is Paul Berry III. I'm a Republican candidate for Congress. Missouri's first congressional district has some great history. Bill Clay in the 1960s turned this district, and he was a true leader. He was a guy that protested at the Jefferson Bank. He's a guy that went to jail for his beliefs. We have all come a far way from Bill Clay, every one of us sitting up here. MOCD1 is hurting right now. And the reason why we're hurting is because we are acting in a reactive manner to our issues instead of a proactive manner. 7 months before Michael Brown got shot, I wrote a letter to the Department of Justice requesting assistance. And I went to our politicians, some of them sitting up here today, and asked for help with my message. Over the last 15, 20, 25 years, do you really think that the sitting politicians had no idea or didn't get the calls that African Americans were having issues in their community? The problem is that we're too reactive. What we need is leadership. An 8-8 football team, the head coach gets fired, okay? And that's what we have in our district. Just going along, trying to survive and trying to make it and see where we're gonna get to. In order for this district to succeed, what we have to do is we have to bring new blood and new thinking. Currently, we have a U.S. Congress that's run by the Republican Party. So in order for us to have any success, we spend time having to ask for favors outside the district. No, we need a congressional candidate and a congressman that's going to be able to go directly at the problems. St. Louis has no leadership up in D.C. Why is it that we have politicians that have been there decades but can't seem to get to a committee chair seat or to be at the top of their game? And St. Louis suffers for that. Education, crime, jobs, transportation, that's the future of the St. Louis area.
Thank you, candidates. And now to the questions, your questions. The first issue today, and this will go first to Congressman Clay, deals with the issue of the Bridgeton landfill, the Westlake. All of these questions have two words in common for all of you. They are you and plan. So I'm assuming that folks would like to know, what is your plan? What is the plan that you are going to follow? They want information.
First of all, thanks for the question. The Bridgeton landfill, as you know, is the site of the underground fire. Bridgeton landfill comes under the jurisdiction of the Department of Natural Resources. Now, that underground event, as they call it, has been going on for the last about 4 years. And that's the state's responsibility to put that fire out. It is migrating toward the radioactive waste, which we know has been a 74-year issue in the making. For 74 years, this community has not dealt with how we adequately eradicate it. It's the government's responsibility to do that. I was the first member of Congress to ask for the complete removal of the waste and to get it out of the Westlake landfill.
It's very important to understand that not only does the federal government have a responsibility to clean this up, but also the state. There are several different entities that have a responsibility, and it's important that we all work together. In 2013, I filed a resolution, a Senate resolution, to ask Congress to remove the EPA from the project at the landfill and replace it with FUSRAP, formerly Utilized Sites Remedial Action Program. And then I filed the same bill in 2014. It was not until late in 2015 Congress even responded. Luckily, Claire McCaskill, along with the Republican U.S. Senator, decided to file it. And following suit was the House of Representatives, where Ann Wagner and our congressman co-sponsored the bill. But we've been waiting on this for a very long time. Here's what needs to happen. The first plan of action that I have is that the EPA needs to be removed from this.
Thank you. Sorry. Candidates, you might want to make notes and put down things you didn't get to say in your closing statements.
Thank you very much for that question. I was able to talk to some people who are closer to the Bridgeton landfill than I am, and they really want to bring the Corps of Engineers in. One of the basic precepts of our democracy is that local people should have the right to try to solve local problems. They've apparently had a lot of difficulty with the EPA, they've had difficulty with the DNR, and they're tired of waiting on the government to work for this. I have another issue that I think the Army Corps of Engineers would be great at bringing potable water throughout the world, but that's not this question. You know, the Army Corps of Engineers, I've heard contractors say they don't really like working with them. But if the local people trust and believe that the Army Corps of Engineers can remediate this problem without exacerbation of the radioactive waste, I think that's where we should go.
I heard one of the speakers say this issue's been going on 74 years. And I asked the people here today to consider who's been in charge during these years and why we're just now addressing this issue now. As a lifetime Bridgeton and Maryland Heights resident, it's a problem. And local government can't solve it because guess what? It costs over $300 to $500 million to remediate the issue. And as many people that are here are aware of, I was dealing with this issue well before it became sexy for congressmen and congresswomen to get involved. Bottom line is this. This waste comes from the Manhattan Project. If we have a president that can go and strike an Iran nuclear deal and regulate nuclear waste and war weapons all over the world, then he can take care of the backyard at Bridgeton. It's a failure of leadership that we're still talking about this issue and there hasn't been any resolve. And to continue to say, well, we filed a bill and we're the first ones going forward. Well, bottom line, did we not know there was a nuclear waste here over the last 15 years? It's a question. Does anybody have an answer for me? Thank you.
Three things. I hate to judge, but it seems to me that 4 years is a long time to get on top of such an important issue as this, and that we need to do better going forward. Second, from what I read, there is an internecine dispute between the Department of Natural Resources and the Army Corps of Engineers as to who should handle this. So whoever is the next congressperson should make sure that that uncertainty is resolved fast. And finally, my friend the congressman pointed out to me that I made a misstatement of fact in my opening remarks, and I apologize to him for that.
Thank you. Another important issue in our county today, in our District 1, especially, I must limit myself to that, deals with issues that became especially apparent after Ferguson, as it is referred to. Multiple facets to this, Black Lives Matter movement, gun violence. I'd like you to think, if you would, what would be one thing that you would try to focus on as a first step to remedying this in the position of congressman from the first district, okay?
One issue that comes to mind for me is that we have a failed war on drugs, which is part of why we have a police neighborhood interaction problem. I'd like us to begin to explore decriminalization of most substances of abuse. I think that if the police are not trying to arrest people and find drugs on them or don't think that's part of their duty, we might have a much more safe community. We certainly would have a lot less drive-by shootings. If we looked at what happened during Prohibition, we absolutely banned alcohol, and what happened? Gangs took over, and we had drive-by shootings. The same thing has happened for almost 80 years in this country. It's deprived a number of young people of the right to vote because they get a felony possession charge, and only the governor can remove it in most states. I think it has put us at a place where we need to alter that thinking.
The day that Michael Brown was shot, I was coming back from Kansas City. I had my summer caucus with the Republican Party. You know what we're discussing? Taxation by citation. My good friend Eric Schmidt and several other Republicans in the Missouri House are already addressing this issue. What would I do to heal? We have gotten too tribal and too hashtag. I can say that I am pro-black and pro-police officer. And I can say that I'm pro-American. It does not matter. We've gone too tribal, and we have to start loving each other. All the gun regulation in the world is not going to solve the crime. Somebody in France just killed people driving a truck. Bottom line, we have to deal with the crime. We have to deal with the domestic abuse. We have to deal with the mental health. We have to deal with the words Islamic terrorism. That's what we need to deal with. Black Lives Matter, people have a right to protest. As long as they're protesting in a peaceful manner, they will always have my support pursuant to the Constitution of the United States.
Three things. Decriminalization of nonviolent drug offenses should be high on everybody's list. Second of all, the long-range solution to crime and the other issues involved with this is third grade reading scores, education, and good job opportunities, and that will go a long way. Third, I welcome the opportunity to set the record straight on Michael Brown and Darren Wilson. As many people haven't, and I've written Rush Limbaugh on it this week, he's got his facts wrong, as do others. Michael Brown did not voluntarily go into the window of the car. Why would anybody in their right mind do that? He must have been pulled into the car. And then when Darren Wilson went for the gun, Michael Brown tried to grab it so he wouldn't be shot. And then he got away and he ran 150 yards while Darren Wilson was shooting at an unarmed man. And then he was probably hit in the shoulder. It's just wrong.
I think what needs to occur is we need to push legislation. One bill that I have is called Clay Cohen, with my friend from Memphis, that will require any death that occurs at the hands of police to assign a special prosecutor to investigate that incident, as well as to train and retrain police officers on how to defuse volatile situations, to give them additional sensitivity training, and to better diverse police forces. Also to require them to wear body cameras. If Darren Wilson had had a body camera, maybe it would have been a different outcome from a grand jury. We also have a bill, I have a bill with Claire McCaskill that will change the rules of how these local police departments get this military equipment, require more training on their part.
On August 9th, I was on the ground after Mike Brown was killed. On August 11th, I was tear gassed on a one-way street with 150 young people, with 20-year-old tear gas, by the way. The first thing that I would do is end the 1033 program that allows municipalities to militarize themselves. But I also would make sure that no longer can our police departments target because of race. I would also ensure that we have cultural competency. And this year, finally, the governor signed a bill upgrading our deadly force. It's not where it needs to be, but we are in compliance with the Supreme Court at this point. And the most important thing we should be working on are our second chancers who feel as though they have no hope at all. I was there on the ground with felons, with gang members, with rappers. Being present is the most important way to communicate with your community.
Entirely new subject. What will you do to bring about stability in the residential and small businesses in the area surrounding the NGA facility?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear that clearly.
Yeah, go ahead. Go on one more time.
What will you suggest to be done to bring stability in the residential and small businesses in the area surrounding the NGA facility?
The same thing you have to do for all of MOCD1. We are part of a promise zone here. And when they announced it in St. Louis, I went down there and discussed it. And I said, why isn't the whole United States area a promise zone? Oh, we should be proud of the fact that we're doing so bad that the government has designated us to what? Streamline government services. That should apply everywhere. Now, as far as the NGA and what's surrounding there, we have to fix our schools. We have two school districts that are providing 50% of the criminals in Missouri Department of Corrections. We have to fix business regulation. As a small business owner, and I take exception to the fact that somebody said that there's only one person up here that's created a job, keeping a job that was here before your time is not creating a job. I'm a small businessman. I will kill the regulation. Health, safety, fiscal health. Those are the only three things we should be regulating. Anything else is just trying to keep a small businessman out. Licensing gives a person an ability that doesn't have the normal sorts of education, the ability to earn.
Stabilizing residences and businesses in 1 minute, no problem. Neighborhood schools and community schools are very important. I'm on my fourth term on the St. Louis Elected School Board, although the appointed board has had power there for going on 12 years for no apparent reason. They didn't get the job done in 9, so DESE gave them another 3, hoping they could do better. St. Louis, as many big cities, concentrates on their downtown instead of their neighborhoods. That's the responsibility of City Hall and the business community. I first ran for mayor of St. Louis in 1993, and I'm singing the same song. If you build strong neighborhoods, a strong downtown will follow. But the reverse is not necessarily true. If we put the effort into neighborhoods that we do into stadiums and hotels and ballpark villages, we'd be a lot better, and the city needs to do that.
I intend to work with city officials who represent the area around the NGA. I also intend to help developers. But remember, the commitment was made by the building and construction trades that over 40% of the employees on this construction project, which will be 1,000 jobs, over 40% will be employed and who will live in the promise zone, in North City and North County. I think that goes a long way in helping those people that reside in that community get good paying jobs. I believe there will be an infusion of investment in the area around NGA. That's $1.75 billion in federal investment. The largest federal investment ever in the history of the city, and certainly the neighborhood deserves it.
Something that we often see is the fact that there are neighborhoods that are torn apart because of decay. We've seen this plight in North City. Extensively, all you have to do is go to the 4th Ward or the 22nd Ward, and you see all these vacant homes. The problem that we have around the NGA is that there are 90 families that are still there in their family homes who are going to be displaced. When there is economic development, oftentimes people talk about, people can live here, they can work here, but you can't afford it. We need to be careful about gentrification because it's going to harm us. We need to make sure that when people are moved because of eminent domain, which I am against, they have a place where they can thrive for a long period of time. And here's the last thing. We need to clean up the radioactive waste that is near that site. Radioactive particulates, anthrax, and zinc cadmium sulfide. All of that was right next door at Pruitt-Igoe.
Thanks. That's an excellent question. We have a number of neighborhoods that are struggling. You can drive around the city of St. Louis, particularly in the north side, and see beautiful old homes that are shells of themselves. Bombed out is what it looks like. It looks like Beirut in the middle of the 70s. I would advocate that we begin to look hard at school choice issues, such as vouchers to give people the right to go to private institutions, to get away from some of the state institutions. I also have something on my website which talks about a 256 plan. It's 256. Computer geeks probably know that as it's either 2 to the 8th or 2 to the 10th. If we take small groups of people in local communities and determine what we want to do, and we can get 100 of them or 200, 256 of them together, working together, we can get better things, including finding homes for the homeless.